Removal from command. August 31st, 1915, Cavalry Club. My dear Henry, I had not time to see you personally before I came away, as this was not arranged until just before we started, so I must write what I have to say. I am sorry, very sorry, to have to tell you that I have irrevocably decided that you must hand over the command to C Squadron for the time being to Francis, and you will return to A Squadron as second in command. Yours ever, Guy Franks. 3rd of September 1915, C Squadron, 19th Hussars. Dear Franks, thank you for your letter of the 31st of August received today, 3rd of September, and to which I reply by return, which should reach you tomorrow, 4th. Ray, removing me from command of the squadron, I must remind you of a promise you made before I took it over. Namely, that in the event of your wishing to get rid of me, you would not do so on the spur of the moment, but would give me a clear month to look round for another job while still maintaining command. I must ask you to abide by this. Yours sincerely, Henry Platt. Request to transfer to Coldstream Guards. 4th of September 1915, C Squadron, 19th Royal Hussars. Dear Daniel, I hear in certain cases that officers from my branch of the service are occasionally granted the privilege of being attached to the Guards with the ultimate view of an exchange. I write to ask if this could possibly be permitted in my case, i.e. to be attached for 2 months to your battalion, and only at the end of that period, if I was found suitable, to apply for an exchange into the Guards or to the infantry in the other event. I have been thinking about this for some time. We have not been in action since May the 24th, and I have decided this is what I want to do. To go direct from where I am and get instruction out here. I'm not quite without experience, as I've been out here since the start, so particularly don't want to go back now to England or some pestilential base. One of our chaps joined up direct, so I suppose it might be done. If you could help me in any way, I should be most grateful. I could easily come over as Cheval tomorrow, Sunday the 5th, any time you like, as our trench diggers return that day, and there is nothing for me to do. But if that is inconvenient, I can get a motor from somewhere and come over any other day. As if there is anything doing, I would like to see you. I am sending an unfortunate bicyclist with this, as letters seem to take about 3 weeks by post, going across to my brother Ernest. Would you please give him a reply? Yours sincerely, Henry Platt. P.S. Would you please regard the contents of this letter as private? As until everything is fixed up, I will rather bother Ernest than people in England heard nothing about him. Case in brief. Briefly, my case is as follows. In his interview with me on September the 8th, Colonel Franks told me he had removed me from command of my squadron because I was incapable of training men for cavalry work. Against this, I would urge, as we have done no cavalry work for nearly 2 months, his reason will seem biased by something entirely unconnected with cavalry training. I have been in active service since the commencement of hostilities. I have taken part in cavalry action, and my superior officer was satisfied with my conduct. Colonel Franks has not yet taken part in cavalry action in this war. In the whole of my service, everything I've been asked to do, I have done well, including an independent command of a squadron of divisional cavalry at Aldershot before the war. Colonel Franks admits I have guts, but argues that so have 99% of British officers. This may be true, but surely this war has proved that not every officer can make men work cheerfully and therefore fight cheerfully, can be cool in times of crisis and act with initiative, that the officer, therefore, who has this prowess possesses the two essential capacities for a combatant command. I wish to bring two entirely independent witnesses to give evidence as to my possessing these two capacities. Previous to serving under them, I had never met either of them. The names are Colonel Beale Brown, 9th Lancers, Major Sands, Royal Engineers. H.E. Platt, Captain. I appeal against Colonel Frank's removal of myself from command of C Squadron, 19th Hussars, as unjust. I ask injustice to be reinstated, not nominally, but officially, in regimental orders. If Colonel Franks is permitted to retain command of the regiment, I will take steps to transfer to some other unit as soon as possible after reinstatement. The reason for removal given me by Colonel Franks was that I was a bad cavalry leader. As we have been digging for about 2 months, he has been keeping me in the regiment under false pretenses during this period. I therefore point out that as he did not tell me before the digging commenced, and after the last period of cavalry training, he was influenced by two incidents which occurred at Elverdinghy. The first incident. They were as follows. Colonel Franks acted at first as brigadier to the digging party. My name was in orders as OC 19th Hussars digging party. During one day's work, before we were properly dug in, it was a very bright day and two German observation balloons were up. Captain McNeil, RE, told me it was inadvisable to work in the open, so I told the two squadrons who were working in an exposed position to wait under the trees while the RE officer and myself hurried round the line to find them work to get on with under cover. Just as we turned to fetch these two squadrons, I was surprised to see one of them working in the open. I called for the sergeant in charge and asked him why he had disobeyed my order. He told me Colonel Franks had ordered him out to get on with the work at once. Colonel Franks then sent for me and asked me why the squadrons were working in the open. I will point out it was surely needless to give an order directly counter to mine without sending to let me know, as I was responsible for the party. Also that it was seen unnecessary to order men out to work in the open when there was work to be done under cover. Second incident. On another occasion, Colonel Franks had given orders that the digging party of the 19th Hussars, before going to dig in the morning, should be formed up on three sides of a square. To do this, one side of the square was partly under cover of the trees, but the other two were well in the open on the grass. I considered that, one, as we were within shrapnel range of the Germans, two, as we were within 200 yards of Elverdinghy, which was shelled frequently, three, there was a chance of spies letting the Germans know we drilled in close formation the same place every morning. Four, it would be difficult to hide if a Taube came over suddenly. Five, one shell might do great damage. That, as I was nominally in charge of the regiment, the responsibility for the men's safety rested with me. I went to Colonel Franks before parade and asked him if he thought it advisable to continue the practice. He said, "Yes, I do." I then explained my reason and said I was nominally responsible. He said, "You always have rotten ideas, but as the people who have just come up to dig are moderate at drilling, they may drill separately for the present." After that, the squadron drilled separately under the trees. And though they stayed up another 3 weeks or so after that event, they did not again drill on three sides of a square. I wish to point out that I took the responsibility of disagreeing with Colonel Franks on a point which affected the men's safety. I wish to state that I will act in exactly the same manner again, that I consider I did my duty and deserved a court-martial if I had acted otherwise. My firm, Platt Brothers in Oldham, supplied textile machinery to the whole world, and we employ about 5,000 skilled hands. We specialise in textile machinery, but received an order for shell cases. A man called Blanchard, a skilled worker, who has been given a couple of months' trial as foreman, was turned onto the job with his gang of men. While superintending the making of these shell cases, he had an argument to raise shell cases with his manager. He said he expected the sack at the time, but did not get it till later. He immediately went to the manager and asked for his reason, which was that Blanchard had shown himself hopelessly incapable of supervising the making of textile machinery. Blanchard then asked why, if he was so hopelessly incapable, he had not been told before, at the time he was supervising textile machinery making. The manager replied, "Because I have a perfect right to sack my foreman whenever I like." Blanchard appealed and took his case right up to the directors, bringing his argument as this. As the manager had not sacked him while he was supervising textile machinery, he, the manager, was strongly biased by events which occurred afterwards and which had nothing at all to do with machinery making. He admitted that the manager had the perfect right to sack his foreman whenever he thought necessary, but the directors only gave that right on the understanding that they used it justly. In their opinion, Blanchard's manager has used his right unjustly, and they decided to reinstate Blanchard on these grounds. I ask you if you agree to this decision. To Adjutant, 19th Royal Hussars, from Captain Platt, 19th Royal Hussars, Machine Gun School, GHQ, September the 28th, 1915. Application for transfer. Sir, I have the honour to request that this, my application for transfer to the 1st Battalion Coldstream Guards, be submitted. Also, that I may be permitted to be attached pending transfer to that battalion on completion of this course of instruction on October the 5th. I have seen the commanding officer who is willing to take me. I have the honour to be, sir, your obedient servant, H.E. Platt, Captain, 19th Hussars. Letter of Account, 14th of October, 1915. A Squadron, 19th Hussars, 14th of October, 1915. My darling girl, I have just received orders to join the Guards Division. As soon as I get there, I will write you my address. If the wire doesn't turn up, Captain Platt, 19th Hussars, Attached Guards Division, will find me. I shall go there tomorrow, taking Paternal and Black Knight. I have special leave from the 1st Coldstream Colonel to keep the horse if I go there, as I rather think I may. Of course, now that Edgerton is dead and Darnell wounded, it is not quite the same, so if they offer me a company in another battalion when I get to Guards HQ, I shall take it. Of course, I go in my own rank, i.e. as a captain. Whether I get a company straight off, I do not know. The 1st Coldstream Colonel was going to attach me to for a week or longer than possibly give me one. I rather think Edgerton would have given me a command straight off. Now, my own, read this part well. First of all, Ray being second in command. I had told my friends that directly Tanner came back to take over C Squadron, I would apply to go to the Guards for the reason that I had done second in command for a year, and a year being safely embarqué with the Red Lasses is as much as anyone's self-respect can stand. And if you think this over, you will know it so. Tanner is back. I should thereupon be going to the Guards, now irrespective of whatever G.D. Franks has said or done. If there is a real chance of cavalry fighting, this would not be necessary. But there is no chance for the next 6 months. That trip to the front line trenches convinced me of that. And you and Johnny will, I am sure, agree that the prospect of 6 months inactivity would absolutely be the last thing necessary for Henry Platt, B.L. Now, as to G.D. Frank's action, he is justified to think whatever he likes. My only complaint is that 2 months after we had done any cavalry work, he removes me from command for being a bad cavalry leader. Obviously, whatever he thought, he acted in a way to make it as bad for me as possible. Now is writing myself. You need have no fear. There is nothing to justify, nothing that J.E. need ever be ashamed of. All three of my judges admitted I was capable, had guts, could make men work, had done well. Cavalry leading was the only thing they had against me. This, as you know, is impossible to disprove when there's no cavalry work afoot. They signed and sealed a document to the effect I was a good soldier, or I could never have arranged a transfer to the Guards. Now, my own, believe me, I am not lucky when I say the very fact of my leaving the cavalry to go to the infantry puts it outside the bounds of any possibility that I can be looked on as anything but a good 'un. If I had 1,000,000 enemies, they could lie themselves black, but they could not alter the fact that this very act had shown I was no pollution. Also, there was nothing against me. So that's all right, isn't it? J.E., I can assure you, would have reason to be much prouder of a pa that's transferred to the infantry than a pa what sat behind the second in command to an ad what's probably going to do nothing for 6 months. This is correct, as you are clever enough to know. Now, my own, you know everything. Please acknowledge this letter as B, then I shall know you have got it. You understand, don't you? I go to the Guards as a captain, not a subaltern, that I am at present to be attached pending transfer, that probably I'll go to the first Coldstream, that I'll probably be a company commander in a week or two, that I'm not going to the machine gun. All my love, my own. Sorry you are bothered like this, but it will all work out. Please have the other poem sent out to me as quickly as ever you can. And please have the enclosed poem to Youth, finished at last, also printed. Henry. Poem titled Youth, Part 6. Once, when we were forward marching on a sunny autumn day, we were glad we were advancing, and my heart was light and gay. When a feeling of oppression, heavy as a nightmare load, dreadful, hopeless, black depression, came upon me as I rode. And I looked, and there before me, black, as far as eye could see, lay the straight, broad tree line paved, black with sad humanity, leaving all in gloom and terror, as they fled before the Hun, from his sword and from his rapine, from the thunder of his gun. And the mingled grief of thousands seemed to haunt the leaden air, like a dirge low played drew to it all the spirits of despair, all the spirits of the lost ones, and I knew beneath their spell that the sorrow of the living was the only living hell.